A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, this is the Doggy Pod again, of course, and welcome back to it. And thank you to all those people that do write in and say, hey, I'm really enjoying this. Keep it up, guys. And we do. My friend here, Stephen Peters, ensures that we keep everything going and flowing.
Well, I'm Dr. Rob's producer. And yeah, lots of people write in. Interestingly enough, they all seem to have the last name Zammit.
That'd be my mum.
Quite know what that means. I don't know how many email addresses your mum has, but anyway, she's pretty busy on the old emails. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is part of the our series that we're doing. We're calling Vet Tales, which is a little bit different to the usual doggy pods. But this one's sort of a bit sad. This story, and but it's a very important episode for anybody that's got a dog. And I say sad because it came from a dreadful thing that happened to one of our regular listeners and their lovely dog Luna. And they had been walking in a park, and Luna was temporarily off the lead and having a bit of a romp around, and then ran into the bushes and came back out frothing, and she had been poisoned. And we found out later, well, the owner took Luna straight to the vet, but tragically Luna had died within an hour of that happening. And it turned out that Luna had inadvertently eaten a bait that had been put out for foxes by the local council, who had put signs up, or a sign up at the entrance to the park, but no other identification of where these baits might be. And that's something we'll talk about, because we think that's, it's fair enough if you have to bait for foxes, if they're killing the local animals and other pets. But I think just putting a sign out the front of the park and not telling you where the baits actually are is pretty slack. But anyway, so Rob, with something like that, what would have, without getting too graphic, I guess, and too sad, what happens to a dog that, consumes that high level of poison?
Yeah, it depends on the poison itself. Some poisons will change their blood straight away so that they can't carry oxygen in the blood anymore. Wow. Some of them are neurological poisons that cause seizuring, and some cause hemorrhaging into the intestines. There are a lot of different types of poisons, unfortunately, for dogs. And then you get the even poisons that cause the dog to have, really hallucinate. They really, it gets into their brain and dogs go crazy, almost like they've got a bad virus like rabies, but they'll hallucinate until they die. Virtually, they'll go into a seizure and die.
So these are poisons that are used to kill other animals that somehow dogs manage to
into. Yeah, I mean, with rabbits, of course, they release viruses which can't affect dogs and cats, but sometimes when at one stage when the virus wasn't working, when myxomatosis was released and it wasn't working, they were putting out carrots with baits inside them, and dogs love carrots. They'd pick up those baits and chew them, and even though they'd warn everyone, not everyone was realising that the baits were everywhere, and so we had a lot of poisonings in our area when that was occurring.
Well, now, that's the thing, isn't it? When, you know, putting, like I said, putting a sign up saying, you know, keep your dog on a leash if you can, but dogs get off leashes, you know, dogs run away from their owners, and it happens all the time, particularly when there's other dogs in the same park and they want to have a run around.
Yeah, and look, children run around the park and see a carrot, and you know, young kids are not realising that that carrot's not there for them, could pick it up and chew it, and that has happened in the past. So I agree with you. I mean, for goodness sakes, dogs and foxes and those sort of things are not going to read. So if you have a sign right where the bait is, you know, big, some flag that says warning danger at each spot,
where each bait is,
It really identifies exactly where the problem is. That's something that can be done. As far as what can you do yourself, there's a few things. I always try and tell people to find some chemist that can make you up a solution that'll make your dog vomit. There was a commercial solution called Ipecac. I don't know if it's still available. Some people are saying yes it is, other people saying no it's not. But most compounding chemists will make something similar to it that could make your dog vomit. The other thing you could do is ensure that you have some charcoal tablets with you, believe it or not.
What do they do?
Charcoal tablets absorb toxins. So if you see your dog swallowing something and you can't make him vomit, throw a heap of charcoal tablets down there until you can get to the chemist. Until you can get to the vet, because that can help minimise the amount of toxins. We found some real weird and wonderful. I mean, as far as hallucinogenic toxins are concerned, we do get the occasional dog that comes in that has found a stash of drugs. Marijuana, usually they like
a bit of hemp.
Yeah. They seem to enjoy it, especially the cookies, of course, that they get attracted to. And but then they'll start decreasing their respiration rate to the point of where they will die of respiratory failure. So you've got to get them treated quite quickly with those sort of things.
So is something like charcoal tablets a good thing just for maybe people to keep in their little bag that they, you know, whatever they carried doggy poo bags around with them?
I have a very, very good friend who has a guide dog. It's his guide dog.
Yeah.
And he always now has charcoal tablets either in his bag when he's walking around, or certainly at home, a good stash of charcoal tablets. Very, very handy for a dog that's been poisoned or taken a toxin in. The other thing that you should do, of course, is try and train your dog. I know that sounds weird, but and you've got to get to them early. Remember, there are going to be some breeds that are worse than others. Like Labradors are very hard to train to not take food. Some people see Labradors as a life support for a stomach, and they pretty much are. They just love food. But any breed, including Labradors, can be trained not to take food, and it's... It starts from puppyhood. It has to start from, my dog, August, he started it. As soon as we got him, we would put his food down and make him sit and stay, and I'd say, good dog, and he knows, I always say, good dog, when he's eating. So without that, he would probably, if I just put the food down nowadays, he's only 9 months old, if I put the food down, he'll look at it until I tell him, good dog, go and eat the food.
Okay.
And you can have, if you want, a trigger word, you know, it can be cabbage or whatever you want to eat. You can have a trigger word that you put the food down and the dog doesn't go to the food until you use that trigger word. That's even better. And I've seen that used many times, especially with police dogs and the like. They won't pick up anything on the street and eat it unless, you know, for some reason the handler's picked up and said, given them the trigger word, which they won't do. If you pick up food on the street, you're not going to feed it to your dog. But
so if they were trained well enough, even
really
if they
well trained
smelled dogs, something that looked really tasty, they still wouldn't do it until...
So that would help tremendously. And then there's the other sort of poisons that they pick up, you know, the mushrooms. Dogs out in the wild. I mean, again, not too far from us, at a place called St. Albans, a lot of what's called goldtop mushrooms. And they're hallucinogenic. And dogs will chew on them. Worse still if they're toadstools, not mushrooms. The toadstools are very poisonous to dogs and can kill them very, very fast.
Well, just recently, you know, a week or two ago here in Australia, and down in Victoria, three people died from eating mushrooms at a dinner party that were apparently locally foraged. So, yeah, mushrooms can be super problematic.
Yeah, very much so.
So if you were out with your dog and you suspect maybe they've eaten something, and what would be the sign that, like, an immediate sign that would say, ah, poison?
Have a look at his pupils. If they're constricted right down or if they're dilating, you know, especially if it's a sunny day, yet the pupils are dilating, I'd be worried. If you see them twitching at all, I'd be very, very worried. And, of course, if they're trying to be sick or, you know, lie down, all of a sudden they're out of energy. Have a look at the gums. If the gums are white, that's often a sign that the animal has been poisoned. So get them to a vet as quickly as possible.
Is there such a thing as a slow-moving poison, or are poisons generally pretty quick?
No, there are slower-moving ones. Of course, some of them are accumulative. You know, they'll pick up a little bit at a time from a certain area and build up in their system till they hit a crescendo. In the old days, thankfully we don't see it anymore, we used to see dogs seizuring from licking paint. And they'd lick paint off the walls.
Was that with lead?
Correct, yes, yeah. And especially in the Balmain area for some reason.
Which is an inner city suburb
Exactly, inner city suburb of Sydney, where, you know, it's an older suburb and there used to be a lot of old paint flaking off buildings. And what does that taste like? Salt. Dogs like salt.
Ah.
And so they're licking all these salts off, giving some electrolytes and enjoying the flavour, but they're also giving lead, which is accumulating slowly into their system. And then leads to severe neurological problems. And you have to do urine tests and blood tests to find the fact they've got this increased lead in their system. And then it's a lot of painful injections to reverse the symptoms for them and get the lead out. So you also get, of course, a lot of poisonings at home. We see that the two most common home poisonings are rat baits and snail baits. Rat baits, again, they can be cumulative. They can get a little bit at a time. And what that does, it stops the blood from clotting. And inside, your blood has to clot. If it doesn't clot around your mouth, you'll bleed from the mouth. And that's what happens. We see them bleeding from around the teeth.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Their gums are white. They're bleeding internally. This is all with rat poisonings.
So if somebody brings in their dog and you suspect it's rat poisoning, will they tell you that they've put rat poisoning out, or do you have to work that out?
Look, I can't tell you the number of times I say, do you have any rat poisoning at home? No, we don't have anything like that at home ever. And then they'll ring up an hour and say, oh, look, we found some.
Yeah.
They forget that they have it on the shelf or behind the refrigerator years ago, and it's still active. Or it was in the garage, and we didn't think he'd be able to get to it. And so we do hear about it sometimes after the event, even though we suspect rat poisoning at times because it's so low, the red cells are so low, and the dog's hemorrhaging. In those sort of cases, we have to give a transfusion or we'll lose the dog. So we give them a transfusion. And with rat baits, the usually the antidote is vitamin K, massive doses of vitamin K. Mm. And that brings up the clotting factors again so that the animal can start clotting his blood again and not hemorrhage to death. Snail baits are different. Snail baits, they seizure. They come in seizuring. And
But surely you wouldn't put snail baits out in your garden if you've got a dog, if your dog roams around the garden. Surely.
Surely. Yeah. No, I don't know what Shirley does, but a lot of
really
other people do.
Really?
Yeah, I know Shirley wouldn't, but other people have. I promise you. The number of snail baits that I've had to, and sometimes I have to stay with them like for overnight and just ventilating them, making sure they can breathe. What we have to do when they come in seizuring, we put them straight onto a drip line, the supportive drip line, and then we anaesthetise the animal. And then we give them a gastric lavage, and we pump out the stomach, and we also go down the other end, give them an enema. And you often get, because snail poisoning is very bright green, you'll get green coming out of the mouth and you'll get green coming out of the rectum. It's just the poison's right through their system. And you have to keep them knocked out. And as you bring them too slowly, you have to make sure that they're not still seizuring. And if they are, take them back down.
Wow.
Again, it's a very, very intensive therapy to get a dog through snail bait. Also rat baits as well, both of those. We see other things as well. People said I was pouring out something from my car, got some sort of oil or something. The dog mouths it and grabs a whole lot of it because dogs used to grabbing water from the hose. They love playing with the hose.
Right.
They'll see that. Pool chemicals and, of course, the old good old dishwasher.
Yeah, what's the story with the dishwasher?
The dishwasher has lovely smells and everything inside.
Yeah, bit of leftover beef Wellington.
So you open the door, you put the tablet in. You don't close the compartment of the tablet. You go and get something else, and before you know it, the dog's got the tablet in his mouth and swallowing it.
So what would happen in that situation?
They get terrible diarrhea usually. It depends on the chemicals that they're using, but usually it's severe diarrhea and vomiting with those sort of chemicals, and we have to wash them out again and give them a lot of supportive therapy to get them through. But lots of other chemicals.
What about the cockroach baits?
Yeah, cockroach. Dogs will cry. I was about to say other baits, cockroach baits and ant baits as well that people put out there.
Because they're encased in plastic.
Yeah, and a dog has got very little powerful bite in his jaw, hasn't he? Mm. No, not at all. Bang, 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 they're through that plastic in no time at all. They can get into that poison. And they tend to be organophosphate poison, so they'll start seizuring and vomiting and show the typical signs of those sort of poisons that we see with insecticides. And unfortunately, one of the things that I know every now and then we send a call out when we see two or three dogs coming in with poison, all from the same area, they've all walked in the same park, there's the intentional poisoning.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier. I can't believe somebody would deliberately do that.
There are just people that are just psychopaths in our society, and they go out and decide to they want to poison dogs for some reason in parks.
Because if you were that demented and that sick, frankly, it's not a difficult thing to do, is it?
Unfortunately, it's very, very simple to do. Very simple. There's poisons that are available everywhere, and I'm not going to mention.
No. Let's not give
which
people
ones?
Not that anybody listening to the doggy pod would even ponder such a thing.
In the old days, one of the most common poisonings was strychnine. Yeah. Strychnine is a really bad poison. It causes severe seizuring and death very, very quickly. And that was used to be able to buy that in some of the stores in the old days. People would use that to poison dogs for no reason.
Is strychnine, it's not available anymore, is it?
Not that, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I've never seen it for sale. I haven't tried to buy it, I guess, but I don't think it'd be. I think it'd be much more monitored, the sale of these sort of real bad poisons, much, much more strongly guarded.
I think the poison that sadly killed poor Luna was 1080, which is one of the most
toxic.
Rapid, toxic. Mm. What would that be used for? What sort of other things would you use 1080 for? Is that like a weed poisoning as well, or is it just for animals?
No, it's mainly for animals. It's mainly used like, you know, unfortunately, wild dogs when they become a problem.
Right.
People in certain areas have used 1080 for that, for foxes, of course, and also for rabbits. It'll, you know, they'll put it into various carrots and other vegetable matter and to poison.
Are rabbits sort of a big problem in urban areas?
No, not so much urban areas. Just, well, on the fringes, You know, even out my way, I'm on the outskirts of Sydney, as you know, and they're not a problem at the moment, but they have been in the past. And people say, oh, why do you need to poison an innocent rabbit? Well, when they were in their masses, they just devastated this whole country. You could see whole pastures just moving, and it was all rabbits, basically. It was just terrible what they did to pastures. And
so foxes are a problem, obviously, because they
kill our native animals. A lot of our native animals are getting killed by foxes at the moment, and they've been on the increase. You know, foxes were introduced to try and take care of the rabbits into Australia. Both of those are not native animals, but it didn't work. In their native countries, foxes and rabbits form an equilibrium. But in Australia, the foxes found it easier to go for the marsupials than they did for the rabbits. Mm. So they kill a lot of our native animals.
Is there another option? Is there a second option of getting rid of foxes that doesn't involve leaving lethal baits
poison
out?
No one's really found it. I guess it would be a bit like the rabbit situation. If you could find a particular virus that just affected foxes, that would be the answer. They did it with there was a cactus in this country. You know, it was introduced and it went wild. You know, wild pear was just everywhere, cactus wild pears, and it was growing. And again, it was devastating paddocks. And they found a moth that would eat the cactus. And that's how they formed an equilibrium. They introduced that moth into this country and got rid of a lot of the cactus. So biological control is by far the best to try and form that equilibrium that Mother Nature really wants for any particular ecology. But trying to find it for foxes in this country is very difficult. Foxes were there, as I said, they were put in to take care of the rabbits, but unfortunately didn't quite work out.
So if there was one thing to take home from this, it would be, it's not a silly idea to have charcoal tablets.
No.
Handy?
Yep. Teach your dog not to eat food that's just indiscriminately.
Well, I love that idea of, you know, you don't eat till I give you this word.
Yeah, it does work. It does work with Oggy. Yeah, he's... Boom, he's
but can you teach an old dog a new trick?
It's harder. It is harder, but you can do it. I think I've talked on the Doggy Pod about an 8-year-old dog that Apollo that I got hold of many, many years ago and took him through his CD, which is companion dog obedience trial. So he was an older dog, but he still got his obedience title quite well.
Okay.
So it is doable. You've just got to be patient. Firstly, form a great relationship with the dog. Ensure that, you know, you're on the same page. I do that. As soon as Oggy came into the house, his first meal, I'd put it down. While he's eating, I'm good dog, and I'm patting him, good dog. And I still do that to this day, and will continue doing that until the day he passes. So, or if I go first. So, you know, it's form that relationship. Form that relationship by taking for his walks every day. You know, all those things, jump around, play around with him, and then I can start introducing obedience work into it. And obedience work doesn't have to be formal, heel, sit, stay. It can be, let's not eat that food. Let's teach you food refusal. So if you go up to Oggy now with a bit of food and I say no, he won't touch it. I
mean, he'll be cranky, but he won't touch it.
Yeah, he loves his food, but he says, no, I love my dad more.
Correct answer. Well, we do sort of respectfully dedicate this, I guess, a little bit sad episode, but also hopefully there's lots of really interesting stuff in there that everybody with a dog just sort of should keep in the back of your mind. But anyway, we dedicate this episode to young Luna, who was only a few years old. She wasn't old. And do you have any words of wisdom? Do you still do the words of wisdom, Rob, or have you run out of words of wisdom?
Run out of wisdom, not words.
Yeah, you don't run out of words. You probably don't, do you?
Well, for me, yeah, we talked about forming a relationship with your dog. And if you're keeping your dog outside all the time, I wonder about, isn't it time that you open that back door and just watch a bit of TV with your dog instead of just on your own or with your partner?
You've been a big advocate of that, haven't you?
Oh, open the back door. Open the back door. Let the dog in and let him sit between you and your partner. It'll make your life happier.
Well, just if you're on the couch by yourself, what better way to spend it than
awesome
the
dog
then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you all for the next episode of the Doggy Pod.
See you, folks.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.